RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, week in review, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with listeners' mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Activist announces House Speaker Setia Novanto taints moral values. Special economic zones must be realized soon. Now the news in detail. Activists of Indonesian Women Against Corruption, TWIA, have expressed their concerns over an alleged ethics violation involving House of Representatives Speaker Setia Novanto, saying that the case has tainted moral values and degraded the dignity of the state institution. TWIA coordinator Ridin Sepsani said that the case involving Setia and businessman Risa Halib, in which they were alleged to have attempted to seek personal gains from the negotiation of gold and copper miner PT Freeport Indonesia contract extension, was destructive both ethically and morally. Ridin added, as a House Speaker, Setia should not have conspired with Risa to misuse the names of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla to ask for shares or project from the mining company, as has been alleged. Another PIA coordinator, Tati Apriyana, said the case surrounding the ethical violation allegedly perpetrated by Setia must be investigated thoroughly. She considered that the case must not only be settled through an ethics hearing, but should also be brought to justice. To attract more investors, President Joko Widodo has instructed immediate realization of special economic zones as that has been announced by the government. During a limited cabinet meeting that discussed the management of pre-trade zones in Batan, Bintan, Sabah, and Karimun, President Joko Widodo also said that the special economic zones could boost economic growth on those regions. He hopes that Indonesia can immediately realize special economic zones. For the record, in the 6th economic policy package, the government named 8 special economic zones, namely Tanjung Lesung in Banten, Tanjung Api-Api in South Sumatra, Seh Mangke in North Sumatra, Palu in Central Sulawesi, Bitun in North Sulawesi, Mandalika in West Nusa Tenggara, and Marotai in North Maluku, and Maloi Batuta Trans-Kalimantan in East Kalimantan. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution has confirmed recently that the Indonesian government will waive income tax for workers in labor-intensive industries. He said that the policy is part of the government's second economic stimulus to boost Indonesia's slowing economy. Minister Darmin said that employees eligible for exemption from paying income tax, also referred to as we call PPH 21, are those who are in industry that include footwear, textile, and tobacco, and who earn less than 50 million rupiah or around $3,700 per year. He said that the government plans to implement the policy for 2 years, with an option to extend the tax exemption further if necessary. The government has already announced 6 economic stimulus packages aimed at propelling growth at home amid challenging conditions from weak growth in China, Indonesian export market, and the prospect of the U.S. Federal Reserve raising interest rate that could potentially trigger a massive capital outflow. Flagship carrier Garuda Indonesia has secured flight slot at London's Heathrow Airport for next year, commenting in the airplane's plan to move away from the less busy Gatwick Airport and to increase its slot factor for the Indonesian-Britain route. Garuda President Director Arif Wibowo said in a recent interview that Garuda now flies to the United Kingdom 3 times a week. He also said Garuda would consider adding flights. Furthermore, he added ATRO offers more options for connecting flights with Garuda's peers in SkyTeam, a global alliance of 20 airlines that covers 1,064 destinations around the world. The last item, Indonesian continent added 11 gold medals on the second day of the ASEAN Para Games 2015. For a while, Indonesia is at third place of medal tally list. Table tennis and athletics also contributed 4 medals. Meanwhile, swimmen contributed 2 additional medals. One another gold medal was obtained from heavy lifting. With the addition of this gold medal, Indonesia has collected a total of 22 gold medals, 19 silvers and 15 bronze. In the list of medal collection, Indonesia is overtaken by Malaysia that has gained a total of 23 gold medals, 18 silver and 12 bronze. Meanwhile, the first position is occupied by Thailand, which has won 27 gold medals, 26 silver and 29 bronze. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome back with me, Steve, in news from across the country, presenting you various interesting information of the week from Indonesia. Our first news came from Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta Town Government planned to construct a special building as a server room in order to increase data security, thus saving public service from interference. The head of Yogyakarta City Information Technology and Telematics Body, Sukada Risman in Yogyakarta, Wednesday said to be coordinating with the Regional Building and Assets Agency, or DBGAD. The room to be called as the database will be built next year in the complex of Yogyakarta City Hall. Now, the server of Yogyakarta Town Government already has a special room, yet to be with proper condition and security. The server is used to store data from around 30 applications related to the public service such as licensing agency, education agency, employment management system, and financial report system. Still in Yogyakarta, Yogyakarta Town Social Manpower and Transmigration Agency released 4 inclusive districts in conjunction with a big commemoration of International Disability Day in Yogyakarta on Sunday. On Wednesday, December 2nd, Head of Agency's Rehabilitation and Social Service Body, Okto Nur Arafat in Yogyakarta, said the release was begun with the formation of Disabled Children Family Association. The 4 districts are Tegal Rejo, Robrajan, Kota Gede, and Gondokusuman. According to Oktonur, the family association is necessary because there are many families with disabled children who are ashamed of and hiding their children. He expected the inclusive district pilot project can be followed by other 10 districts so that all districts of Yogyakarta can be all-inclusive. The inclusive district establishment is also an effort of Yogyakarta Town Government in making Yogyakarta an inclusive town. Based on the latest data, there are more than 2,300 disabled people in Yogyakarta, including 334 children and 1,800 with special health insurance. The last news came from Sawah Lunto, West Sumatra. Sawah Lunto City Government, West Sumatra prepared at least 3 billion rupiah to open tourism route in the former coal mine tunnel, Mbah Suro. Sawah Lunto Tourism and Cultural Agency Head Afrianto last Thursday, December 1st, said the agency will begin route construction next year. The route is the second phase route, becoming another tourism destination in the town. Until now, the tourists are allowed to enter 186 meters only of the tunnel on the first phase. The tunnel that was an active coal mining tunnel where many forced labor worked during the East Indies colonial era was visited by many, especially on the weekend and national holidays. Evriando said the second phase route that will be open began from Info Box, the former meeting hall for the mine laborers, as the entrance into Sawahlunto Great Mosque that was a steam power plant before moved into Talawi district. The mine tunnel, initiated by Dr. Jan Willem Izerman in 1898, was called Mbah Suro because the mining company employed Suro from Java Island as their foreman. To strengthen the old city tourism object in the former coal mine, the Sawahlunto government will maintain the homestay concept so that more hotel is not necessary. Well, listener, that was news from across the country.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Today in History. Today's edition, we begin with an event on December the 6th, 1917. Finland declares independence from Russia. The Finnish Declaration of Independence was adopted by the Parliament of Finland on December the 6th, 1917. The country declared Finland as independent nation among nations, ending its autonomy within Russia as its Grand Duchy of Finland, with reference to a simultaneously delivered bill into the Diet to make Finland an independent republic instead. The movement for Finland's independence started after the revolutions in Russia, caused by disturbances in Russia from hardships connected to the First World War. This gave Finland an opportunity to withdraw from Russian rule. After several disagreements between the non-socialists and the social democrats over who should have the power in Finland, on the 4th of December 1917, the Senate of Finland finally made a declaration of independence which was adopted by the Finnish Parliament 2 days later. The Finland's Independence Day was first celebrated in 1917. However, during the first years of independence, 6th December in some parts of the Finland was only a minor holiday compared to the 16th of May, the White's Day of celebration for prevailing in the Finnish Civil War. From 1917, we move on into 1989. The Montreal Massacre, Marc Le Pen, an anti-feminist gunman, murders 14 young women at the École Polytechnique in Montreal. The École Polytechnique Massacre, also known as the Montreal Massacre, occurred on December 6, 1989 at the École Polytechnique in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. 25-year-old Marc Le Pen, armed with a mini 14 rifle and a hunting knife, shot 28 people, killing 14 women, before committing suicide. His suicide note claimed political motives and blamed feminists for ruining his life. Many feminist groups and public officials have characterized the massacre as anti-feminist attack that is representing wider societal violence against women. Consequently, the anniversary of the massacre has since been commemorated as the National Day of Remembrance and Actions on Violence Against Women. And then we go back further into 1957. On the Project Vanguard, a launchpad explosion of Vanguard TV3 towards the first United States attempt to launch a satellite into the Earth's orbit. The Project Vanguard was a program managed by the United States Naval Research Laboratory, which intended to launch the first artificial satellite into the Earth's orbit using a Vanguard rocket as the launch vehicle from the Cape Canaveral Missile Annex in Florida. In response to the surprise launch of the Soviet Union Sputnik 1 on October 4, 1957, the US restarted the Explorer program, which had been proposed earlier by the Army Ballistic Missile Agency, or the ABMA. Before work was completed, however, the Soviet Union launched a second satellite, Sputnik 2, on November 3, 1957. Meanwhile, the spectacular televised failure for Vanguard TV3 on December 6, 1957, deepened American dismay over the country's position in the space race. However, on March 17, 1958, Vanguard 1 became the second artificial satellite successfully placed in the Earth's orbit by the United States. Vanguard 1 is the oldest artificial satellite still in space, as Vanguard's predecessors, Sputnik 1, Sputnik 2, and Explorer 1, have decayed from the orbit. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, here is Highlights of the Week. This week we feature Capicola Revision Should Listen People's Voice. Listener, the House of Representatives Legislative Body and Ministry of Justice and Human Rights are still working on the Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK law revision so that the law can be finished in the end of 2015. The House said the KPK law revision is necessary to perfect KPK's institutional. Despite the ongoing law revision, people's voice must not be neglected. Therefore, involvement of the society elements such as law experts, academicians, and anti-corruption activists is necessary. This was stated by President Joko Widodo after coming back from Paris at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport in Jakarta. The president also believed the law revision has the spirit to strengthen, not weaken, the KPK. President Jokowi also asserted the KPK law revision was planned by the House. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairman of House's Legislative Body, Firman Subagio, agreed with President on considering the people's aspiration, including the elements of KPK. This is seen as important, for in a discussion of law, transparency is required. Firman Subagio also asserted the law revision is not to reduce KPK's authority, but to adjust several matters inside the law of KPK, thus avoiding multi-interpretation. Listener, on the other hand, Chairman of House's Commission 3, Aziz Shamsuddin, admitted not to know the development of the revision. Because after the draft bill discussion was stopped by the President, the Commission 3 is yet to discuss it again, although included in the National Legislation Program or Prolegnas 2015. Aziz said, if the draft bill is yet to be included in the plenary agenda, nothing guarantees whether the law revision will be finished this year or not. He added, the KPK draft bill is still in the legislative body. On the other hand, anti-corruption activists sow for points that limits the KPK law revision as opening opportunity of weakening the anti-corruption institution. This was conveyed by Indonesian Parliamentary Center, or IPC, Sulastio. According to Sulastio, KPK so far has been good enough to implement the 4 points. Well, listener, that was Highlights of the Week.
Well, listeners, nice to be with you again in the week interview program highlighting some important events happened in the past week of December 2015. Indonesian government is considered important about the implementation of Bali Democracy Forum, or BDF, which has been held since last December 2008. This is an intergovernmental forum which annually, inclusively and openly discusses the development of democracy, particularly in the Asia-Pacific region. Previously, the implementation of the BDF 1 and 7 were open and attended by Indonesian President, the Sultan of Brunei Darussalam, and Prime Minister of East Timor. But for the 8th BDF in 2015 will be open and attended by ministerial level. That was stated by Director General of Information and Public Diplomacy of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, S.T. Andayani, to Air Rival Service at the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on last Monday.
Saya yakin bagi beliau tetap penting.
I'm sure President received that BDF is still important. We implement this because he agrees that it is very important for Indonesia to continue what we have conducted. And it is returned to the previous implementation of the forum, which was the ministerial level. So I think in the future it will continue to get the government's support. Furthermore, S.T. Antayan explained that Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry has sent a letter to Indonesian President Joko Widodo to attend and opened the BDF 8 to take place from December 10 until 11, 2015 in Nusa Dua, Bali. However, the presidential palace said that BDF should be returned to the ministerial level. The Bali Democracy Forum 8, 2015 will the themed Democracy and Effective Public Governance will be opened by the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi and attended by related minister and deputy minister from 53 participating countries, 67 observer countries and 7 international organizations. Indonesian Food and Drugs Monitoring Agency, BPOM, keeps improving coordination with all elements within and outside the country to deal with the traditional medicine and health supplement containing chemical drugs. Speaking on the sidelines of the movement of combating traditional herbal medicine containing chemical drugs forum in Jakarta on last Monday, head of Indonesian Food and Drugs Monitoring Agency, Roy Alexander Spraringa, said that based on information from the post-marketing alert system, World Health Organization and Food Drugs Administration of the United States, there are at least 38 types of traditional medicine and health supplements with chemical content. The 38 types are believed to be foreign products.
Laporan obat tradisional, suplemen.
The report on traditional herbal medicine contained chemical drugs was delivered through the post-marketing alert system. There are 38 items the report came from abroad. The withdrawal reason was its contents of chemical, namely heavy metals. The report came from several ASEAN countries, the United States and Australia. It was claimed to cure short, uric acid, men's stamina and slimming medicine. It is almost the same as what we found in Indonesia. Furthermore, Roy Spraringa explained that the coordination improvement on traditional medicine issue will be conducted with all elements within the country, namely police department and attorney, regional government and businessmen association. Food and Drugs Monitoring Agency, BPOM, would also improve its coordination with all ASEAN member states through alert system and all related countries. The government of Indonesia was to launch a national identity card with the Braille letters for the blind. This is related to the fulfillment of human rights of disabilities persons in accordance with the program launched by the Minister of Social Affairs. It was stated by Social Affairs Minister Kopipa Indar Parawansa at the launch of the automated teller machine at the end for the blind in Jakarta on last Tuesday. Minister of Social Affairs coordinated the plan with the Minister of Home Affairs, so the planned ID card with the Braille letters would help the blind people.
Kita juga sedang mengkoordinasikan dengan Kementerian Dalam Negeri.
We are also coordinating with the Minister of Home Affairs to prepare ID cards in the Braille. Hopefully this can be updated because blind people who suffer disability do not know if their ID cards are exchanged, for example. Social Minister Kopipa Indar Parawansa added that with the Braille ID card program, it is hoped that the ID card of the blind do not be confused. In addition, the ID card can simplify the bureaucratic process for the blind person. Minister of Social Affairs not only communicate with the Minister of Home Affairs, but also with Minister of Social Affairs, also communicate with the Minister of Justice and Human Rights. Indonesian government has now prioritized people with disabilities, women and children as the number one community in various fields such as education and health. So violence against children and domestic violence often occur in some regions across Indonesia. It is in contrast to some developed countries such as Canada and Australia that have prioritized people with disabilities, women and children in various fields. That was stated by Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection of Indonesia, Yohana Yambisa, to RRI in Jakarta on last Wednesday.
Canada, Australia, mana-mana saya keliling.
In Canada, Australia, where I travel around, people with disabilities, they become number one by those countries. Women, people with disabilities, children, they are the highest level of attention by the government. But Indonesia, no, we assume those women and children below as number two. I see violence happening in everywhere against children. Some people treat the young children, and domestic violence are still visible everywhere, especially people with disabilities. Many parents are crying because their children do not have access to education, health, and etc. Furthermore, Minister Yohana Yembisa hopes that in the future the Indonesian government will prioritize and pay attention to the rights of people with disabilities, women and children, because many of them have a quality above average. She also said the women's issues and children are an international issue, so that the Indonesian government has to fight to elevate the rights of children and women in the world level by doing coordination with the government, private sector, religious and community leaders and other stakeholders for the Indonesian advancement. Free market, which is well known as the ASEAN Economic Community AEC, will be held at the end of 2015. Political observer of Indonesian Science of Institute LIPI, Trinuke Pujastuti, after discussion of ASEAN Community Strategy Understanding to media at LIPI's building in Jakarta on last Wednesday, said that Indonesian people should be important part of the free market area of ASEAN Economic Community. Even she said Indonesia should be able to become producer of goods which can be used by people of ASEAN. If we talk about ASEAN Economic Community, actually there are two sides of psychological investment of LIPI research, preparing the business community and general community. The business community is how to compete. It means if we can compete, we require national and international standardization. The general community means that there is an awareness in which we have become a great nation. We are not consumers, but we are a nation of manufacturers, so that they can participate. One of their participants is to become important part in regional empower. In addition, Trinuke Pujastuti said that LIPI has recommended the Indonesian government to be ready to face ASEAN Economic Community at the end of 2015. Firstly, the president should be the main starter of the ASEAN Economic Community. Secondly, the coordinating Minister of Economy, Minister of Trade, Minister of Industry and the National Standardization Agency should coordinate to formulate policies. Thirdly, it is to build a strategy to strengthen the competitiveness by improving the quality of products. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a limited cabinet meeting to discuss Papua at the presidential office in Jakarta on last Thursday. Based on the agenda published by the Presidential Press Bureau, President Joko Widodo led the meeting on Papua at around 4 p.m. Indonesian time. Papua has been in the news recently with the ongoing investigation into contract negotiation of Papua's biggest copper and gold mine in Fund, PT Freeport Indonesia, the local unit of U.S.-based mining giant Freeport McMoRan. The issue has implicated top Indonesian officials, including the Speaker of the House of Representatives, DPR Setia Novanto. Directorate General of Culture, the Minister of Education and Culture in cooperation with the Indonesian National Committee for UNESCO, held the 9th Karawitan Indonesian Youth Concert. The concert was held at the Minister of Education and Culture Senayan in Jakarta on last Friday. The Chief Executive of Indonesian National Committee for UNESCO, Arif Rahman, in a press conference said that this concert is an attempt to increase the active participation of youth in the preservation of culture of Indonesia.
Karawitan Muda Indonesia ini lahir.
Karawitan Youth Indonesian culture is born of inside the first. The concern is possible extension of Sherpa musical tradition in Indonesia. That's why the strategy must be young people. And it turns out many young people in Indonesia are developing traditional music. Ari Rahman at the UNESCO said that culture should be guiding the development of the nation. Therefore, Indonesian culture should be able to drive the development of Indonesia. On the same occasion, curator of Karawitan Indonesian Youth Concert, Kompayan Raka, said, in general, the traditional Indonesian art cannot compete with other contemporary music. He hopes that this concert could lead young Indonesian people to love traditional music. 9 groups would perform at the 9th Indonesian Karawitan Youth Concert. They are Rahmat Fiaman from West Sumatra, Gon Wanin of Momore, and Swan Mamboyo of West Nusa Tenggara. 9 traditional Balinese dances have been recognized as part of a World Intangible Cultural Heritage following UNESCO session in Namibia, Africa on last Wednesday. Chief Executive of Indonesian National Committee for UNESCO, Arif Rahman, said in Jakarta on last Wednesday that the recognition of 9 kinds of traditional Balinese dances as an intangible World Cultural Heritage by UNESCO proves that Indonesia has an outstanding cultural development.
Tanggal 2 adalah tanggal hari besar Indonesia.
2nd December is a great day for Indonesia because Bali dance is recognized as World Intangible Cultural Heritage. In addition, this is also accompanied by Kris, accompanied Wayan, accompanied by Angklung, and accompanied with Nokent. And waiting in line behind the dance of Toraja dances, Nias dances, Indonesia has a tremendous cultural development, and hopefully Indonesia will become a civilized country. On the same occasion, archaeologists and practitioners of dance, Professor Edi Syariawati, said Bali dance has long been registered as a world culture. He explained Bali dance is considered as world cultural because not only important for the people of Bali but also for the world. 9 traditional Bali dances that are recognized as intangible world heritage are Rejant Sangyang Dadari, Lined Ceremony that are classified as sacred dance, Sidakarya Mast, Gambu Ballet and Ballet Wayan Won classified as semi-sacred dances, Legon Kraton, Joget Tube and Baron Ket Kuntisraya, which is classified as entertainment. With the recognition of 9 traditional Balinese dances as a world cultural heritage, Indonesia had 7 cultural elements in the list of intangible cultural heritage of UNESCO. 6 elements which had been registered previously are Wayan Puppet, Kris Batik Angklung, Saman Dance and Noken Papua, and education and training programs of Batik. Land degradation caused by pollution and the lack of agricultural land are factors that threaten food security in Indonesia. Head of the Bureau of Cooperation and Promotion of Science and Technology, Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, Bogi Sujatmiko Eko Cahyono, said on last Thursday to Agri World Service Voice of Indonesia that many farms had been converted into houses, buildings, and factories. According to Bogi, in general, agricultural land in Indonesia had been much reduced, both in quantity and quality. Science and technology can be a solution to overcome these problems. He added, LIPI has conducted various researches in developing superior varieties of rice seeds that are resistant to drought and soil pollution. Lack of water makes the fields unable to be planted throughout the year. With the technology, we have invented new rice varieties, which do not need much water. There is also rice planted in the dry areas. There are many areas which have also been contaminated. Then with the technology, we can create pollution-resistant rice, for example. The rice is oil-resistant. It can still grow despite much oil. There are also food-resistant rice varieties, so it still grows and undestroyed in 1 or 2 months. Bogi further said that Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, has also developed fertilizer, bioprocessing technology, and food engineering. But he acknowledges that dissemination or application of research is still lacking. For example, LIPI has cooperated with local governments of Wonogiri Regency and has produced 13 tons of rice per hectare with the fertilizer bans on LIPI research results. Typically, 1 hectare of land produces only 5 to 6 tons of rice. Bogi said Indonesian researchers are highly predicted in creating an innovative system to improve the land quality and food production. It is expected that the people and the government will use the science and technology to improve the quality of land and food. The last item, the 5th of December has been stated by the United Nations as the World Soil Day. Soil has become part of the human's life, that its existence must be conserved. Related to this case, South Korean government has paid attention to the soil environmental conservation both in urban and rural areas. It was stated by Kim Jae-no, a Korean citizen living in Seoul, capital, to a rural service Voice of Indonesia by phone on last Friday.
Well, I think that the government taking a very strong initiative to protect natural environment and also agricultural environment, I think. Definitely, the Korean government and also together with the agricultural industry, they are trying to protect their environment like soil or like other natural resources. Usually concentrate on the urban area, not rural area in Korea, I mean. The rural area or farming area is protected by the government's strong regulation. Yes, so I don't have any doubt. Even many Koreans, they are very aware of natural protection also to protect our land, because the land is given by the God. So I hope on the occasion of World Soil Day, Indonesian people, also in Korean people, they trying their best to protect our land.
Furthermore, Kim Jae-no also expect that at the World Soil Day, the international community has personal awareness to keep their environment in their countries, so the conservation of environment can bring about benefit for the surrounding people. Listener, that was a Week in Review. Thanks for joining us.
Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Activists of Indonesian Win Against Corruption PIA have expressed their concern over an alleged ethic violation involving House of Representatives Speaker Setia Novanto, saying that the case has tainted moral values and degraded the dignity of the state institution. To attract more investor, President Joko Widodo has instructed immediate realization of special economic zones as that has been announced by the government. Coordinating Minister for Economy Affairs, Darmin Nasution, has confirmed recently that the Indonesian government will waive income tax for workers in labor-intensive industries. Flagship carrier Garuda Indonesia has secured flight slot at London's Heathrow Airport for next year, cementing the airline's plan to move away from the less busy Gatwick Airport and to increase its slot factor for the Indonesian-Britain route. Indonesian continent added 11 gold medals on the second day of the ASEAN Para Games 2015. For a while, Indonesia is at third place of medal tally list. Table tennis and athletics also contributed 4 medals. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sound. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miss Lenny.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a segment introducing you Indonesia's tourism potentials, including tourist destinations, arts and culture, also culinary. In today's edition, we are inviting you to visit Tumbak Village in North Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Talking about tourism in North Sulawesi, so far, only Bunaken Marine Park that is known as the excellent tourist spot. In fact, North Sulawesi still has many tourist destinations, which is a tourist paradise that is no less interesting to other tourist destinations in Tumbak. Tumbak Village is located in Pusumayan District, southeast Minahasan Regency, about 3 hours drive from the city of Manado. Tumbak Village has a characteristic form of settlement with houses lining up on the water. The word Tumbak is actually an acronym of mangroves which covers 1 hectare area and dominate large parts of the village. After reaching Tumbak Village, you can continue the journey into Tumbak Island by boat. Boat rental services can be found in the village pier. Most residents of this traditional village are fishermen and open boat rental services. The location is not too far from the pier. It only takes around 10 minutes by fishing boat to reach the Tumbak Island. Tumbak Island is different from Tumbak Village. The island is uninhabited and has an area of less than 1 hectare. Although small, it offers a variety of marine tourism activities because of its natural beauty. There is a hill on Tumbak Island. From the top of it, you can see the expanse of the blue sea lining up with the beautiful group of islands in the southeastern waters of North Sulawesi. Besides the hill, the Tumbak Island also has a savanna that has not been touched by the humans.
They interspersed with lush trees, the savanna on Tumba Island is suitable for those who crave for a quiet place in the middle of the island. With so many snorkeling spots around, Tumba Island is one of Indonesian islands that is offering a complete package of marine tourism. By the way, in addition to snorkeling, visitors can also do some fishing and diving. And the water scenery in here is so wonderful and increasingly open the eyes for many tourists, so diving is really recommended. If you want to explore the beauty of Tumbak, you need to set up at least 2 days. Besides the beauty of the underwater, which offers views of various fish, your eyes will be also pampered with a carpet of beautiful and colorful coral. Aside from enjoying the beauty of beneath the bottom of the sea, you can also enjoy the beautiful white sand around the village on the water like Baling Baling and Ponteng Islands. Well, sir, that's Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Tumbak Island. See you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener, welcome back to Miscellany. Today's Miscellany features UGM students develop maritime border virus and prevention technology. Indonesia is the 5th largest country in the world, bordered by a number of countries. It shares land borders with Papua New Guinea, East Timor, and Malaysia. As for Indonesia's marine area, bordering 10 countries namely Australia, India, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, Vietnam, Philippines, Papua New Guinea, Palau, and Timor Leste. Security in the border region, both on the land and the sea, is very important for the sovereignty of a country. Maritime boundary violations have occurred in border areas. Not infrequently, the violations led to the arrest of Indonesian fishermen by neighboring countries. This problem prompted a number of students at the University of Gajah Mada or UGM in Yogyakarta to develop technologies to prevent violations of Indonesian maritime boundary. Three UGM students, namely Imade Saptahadi and Bagas Lail Ramadan, students of the Department of Geodesy, and Imaduddin Majid of Department of Electrical Engineering, successfully developed technological innovations to prevent such violations. Sapta said that the development of this tool started from the concern for the rampant cases of violation of the maritime boundaries in the border region. Often these cases led to the arrest of Indonesian fishermen by the neighboring countries. One of the causes of the boundary violation is related to the ignorance of fishermen where the boundaries of the country are. Especially in the middle of the sea, its limit lines are not very clear, he explained on last Monday, November 30th at UGM. under the guidance of technical geodesy lecturer Imade Andi Arsana, who is also an expert in the field of maritime boundaries, Sapta and his friends made an alarm that is integrated with global positioning system and entered the coordinates of maritime boundaries agreed with neighboring countries. The tool was named SWATES, or Suwanten Wates, or in Indonesian language, border sound. It is easy to operate. SWATES works by providing early warning in the form of an alarm signal when the device is brought near to the border. So, when the fishermen are sailing closer to the border region, the tool will automatically provide an early warning sound so that they do not pass through the maritime boundary. The device has been tested and is able to provide early warning with position accuracy of 2.5 meters from the boundary line defined. By the way, SWATES is not only able to prevent the occurrence of violations of the maritime boundary in Indonesia, especially those carried out by the fishermen in border areas. It also won the first place in the national contest of innovative geospatial in the Faculty of Engineering, UGM, held from November 27 to 29, 2015. Well, listener, that was Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia. Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz at 1300 hours to 1400 hours UTC on October 18, 2015, and the reception was 43344. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, how are you? Thank you very much for always sending your reception report of our broadcast. So keep listening and sending your reception reports to our radio. Thank you very much. Listener, now we will reply an email from Mr. Mizanur Rahman in Bangladesh. Hello, Mr. Mizanur Rahman, how are you? Long time we haven't received your email, but we are sure that you always tune in our radio every day because you always send your reception report of our broadcast very detailed. We appreciate our regular listeners throughout the world who always give us their suggestion or criticism on our broadcast. And this is also for our improvement for the next future. Thank you to all our listeners wherever you are. Mr. Mizanur Rahman, we are waiting for your next email and also your reception report. Thank you very much. Listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. And now we continue to reply an email from Mr. Jack Sherak in Bangladesh. In his email, Mr. Jack Sherak asked some materials from our broadcast. Hello, Mr. Jack Sherak. Thank you for your email dated September 2015. But we are really sorry because for this moment we cannot provide them. And we hope that you will not be disappointed. Thank you very much. And special for you and also other regular listener, we will play a beautiful song. Let's take it out.
Tiada habis terus.
Well, listener, now we'll reply an email from Malik Alabachaya Kokar in Bangladesh. In his email, Mr. Malik Alabachaya Kokar asked to send him quiz information, literature, and also a QSL card. Hello, Mr. Malik. Thank you for your email. That is September 12, 2015. We'll send you our QSL card, but we don't know where we want to send it because you didn't give your home address. So please give us your complete home address. Thank you very much. And listener, unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and also like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia. Or you can also follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia, at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening. And we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Dengan kejujuran ku doa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.